this week, I'll be looking once again at the book of Acts. We're in chapter 11. Our brother Mark B.B. is looking at the book of Galatians, and Jeff Buckles is rotating in at 1 Corinthians. But this week, it's the book of Acts. We'd like to look at three main points from verses 19 to 30, and that is, verse 21, it mentions that the hand of the Lord was with them. And then we'll look at a man also named Barnabas. We'll look at thoughts concerning this brother Barnabas. And thirdly, in verse 26, at the end of the verse, we see that those at Antioch were the first ones that were called Christians. Let's look at verse 19 to 30. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Let's look to the Lord once again in prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God that's before us tonight, and we just ask that as we consider Barnabas and the things that were going on in this portion of the word of God, as we look at it, it may encourage us in whatever way may be needed in each individual life. We just pray thanking you again for the word of truth that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We just pray in Christ's name, amen. Okay, once again, chapters 10 and chapter 11 up through verse 18, we see the context of Cornelius, and of course how there was these visions between the man Cornelius and Peter, and we see how Peter went on and met this one Cornelius, and as he had been taught through this vision, Peter realized that the Lord had actually opened the door of salvation unto the Gentiles, and that he should not refuse to preach the gospel to them and to see them come into the fold of God. But now we see verse 19 is speaking of those outside of this land of Israel, those that had scattered abroad after the persecution of Stephen. If we had a map before us, we would begin to be able to look, as we will quite a bit, in Acts chapter 13 on, at the various cities and the various regions that would be moving outside of Israel. One of the main points of the book of Acts, to be able to study the missionary journeys, beginning in chapter 13, and to see the importance of these different cities and the regions that they would travel to. As any good Bible will have a map of the missionary journeys of Paul, and we see that he would travel across the Mediterranean. He'd go up into what is called Turkey today, many cities there. And not to belabor that point, for we'll get into that, Lord willing, in a couple of messages as we look at chapter 13 and see that first missionary journey begin. But here we see just a sprinkling of the idea of different cities, of traveling out, moving out, outside of Israel, and we see how the Lord begins to work outside of Jerusalem and Israel. We see the mention of Cyprus, an island south of Turkey, Mediterranean Sea. We see Antioch. And by the way, when you see Antioch, we have two different places in this general area referred to as Antioch. We have that which would be north of Jerusalem in what we would consider Syria. And that seems to be what we're looking at right here. But then we see also in Turkey, there's another place referred to as Antioch, which if you want to just briefly look at chapter 13 and verse 14, chapter 13 and 14, this would be the Antioch that later on in the first missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas would go through in Turkey. 14 says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So we see this is a different Antioch, it looks to be, in chapter 13, as the one in 13 in verse 1. They were apparently at the Antioch in Syria, the one in which they were first called Christians, as we'll see tonight in 12 and 26. So that's just an interesting point. If you had a map in front of you, I'm sure some of you do, you'll see the two different Antiochs on your map before you. Well, let's just consider not so much Antioch, but let's consider the other place mentioned, Cyprus. Cyprus, we'd like to draw our attention to that as this island would be the homeland of Barnabas. And Barnabas is what we'd like to, or who we'd like to consider a few minutes tonight. But before we look at a little study of this man Barnabas, let's just kind of walk through this portion that we've read. Verse 18, we see the open door brings praise. This is the verse before what we read earlier. We see when they heard these things, speaking of what had just gone on with Cornelius, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So with that as a backdrop, we see in verse 19, that's why we mentioned the question of the actual timetable of verse 19, because after the mention of the Gentiles, did you notice the end of verse 19, it says they were preaching to the Jews only. Well, if you move on from there, you see in verse 20 that some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians. So we see once again the mention of where it broadens out to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, one interesting thing I like about verse 20 is the fact that no name or title or anything is given out. We see it just simply says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. We don't see anyone specifically mentioned, no one raised up in a sense and given credit by name, but generally it just says some of the men. Isn't that something? We see sometimes the Lord chooses to use characters in a mighty way, and we're going to look at one in just a few minutes, Barnabas. But sometimes he doesn't mention a name, and it just leaves it to the fact that we can think of how the Lord can use us, whether we're named or unnamed. The point being is the Lord's work is done, and he's glorified. He doesn't choose to mention anyone particular at this point, but some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. Whoever they were, we see the word went forth, preaching the Lord Jesus. But the main thing that I like to see in connection with 20 is 21, without knowing who they were specifically, it says the hand of the Lord was with them. That's what is important, isn't it? That the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed. So we see there was actual fruit from this speaking or preaching the word of God in verse 20. A great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Well, as we walk through, picking up at verse 22,
from 22 on down, we'll see Barnabas mentioned three or four times. And now I'd just like to think a little bit about this man, Barnabas. If you want to look at chapter 4 for a moment, from chapter 4 to chapter 15, Barnabas is mentioned a handful of times. And I like looking at Barnabas in this section because it's a section that is connecting that which is spoke of that great movement to the Gentiles and with Cornelius, and it's connecting it with the soon coming missionary journeys to come in chapter 13 on. But what we have here is a man, as we'll read in 4 and 36, a man which his name means son of exhortation, or in the King James, the son of consolation. Read with me in 4:36. And then in a moment we'll see how it ties in with the text that we have in chapter 11. And Josie, who is by the apostles with surname Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, the word meaning exhortation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now we broke in at the end of the chapter, of course, and the main thing is just to see the background of Barnabas, a man of Cyprus. If you remember when we looked at chapter 4 and looked at chapter 5 a number of weeks ago, we saw that in contrast to chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira, they had sold a piece of possession and lied as they were in hypocrisy, saying that they gave all that they had, that it wasn't the truth. The point was that they lied, not that they had to give everything, but they lied about how much they gave. In contrast, chapter 4 ends with a man who sold it and was a man of his word, a man that was a man, as we'll see in a few minutes, of exhortation, and a great contrast to the attitudes of Ananias and Sapphira, a man that used his possessions in an honest way, in a way to serve the Lord. He had some land and sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. Nothing said of hypocrisy with him, as you would see in the next following verses of Ananias and Sapphira. But we see there that he was a man that was, by interpretation, his name means son of consolation. That's important. Move on with me to chapter 9. A man of exhortation. I believe you'll find that not only in his name, but in his life.